With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
We got some new music beds lately. I like it. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. Here's a Padre fan right here.
I see him. He's out front. I saw the hat.
All right, Padres.
I told him I love the hat.
Follow me on X, Friar 2024.
Friar 2024?
Yeah, that's my X.
That's you on X?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Just kidding.
Friar 2024. I thought you were Carmen DeFalco.
I still love my beloved White Sox, Yurko. As sad as they are, I still love them.
Well, they beat St. Louis 2 out of 3, didn't they?
They did. Garrett Crochet pitched well again. You know, like, he's been a little up and down. Garrett Crochet, it's funny right now. I don't want to get us too far sidetracked here.
We don't have to
deep dive White Sox baseball. I want to talk about the TV stuff that was reported over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But just a Garrett Crochet, you know, because, like, I think Chris Getz, as you call him, Littlefinger, which is still one of the funniest things I ever heard.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments where I heard
it. He had the ear of Jerry Reinsdorf.
If at the moment I heard it, I were drinking something, it would have been spit out without exaggeration.
Yeah.
That's how funny it was. And then I was gone that day. I was off, but I was listening. And then I was getting people texting me going, do you hear what Yurko's calling Chris Getz?
Littlefinger. He got the job because he had the ear of Jerry Reinsdorf and Littlefinger in Game of Stones.
Game of Thrones.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to know Game of Thrones to get the reference.
Yes, the Game of Thrones.
So
he had the ear of everybody, and he was always plotting and conniving and his terrible, terrible human being.
It was
so just it when was they remarkable. Said he had the ear of Jerry Reinsdorf, I'm like, Littlefinger.
Last August, when I heard Yurko say, what's his name? Getz, Littlefinger. I was like, oh, sweet Jesus. He just called Chris Getz Littlefinger.
No, he deserved it.
It's the best. So he's sort of hinting that there are going to be more trades. And I wonder if they dangle a player like Garrett Crochet, or if you make the argument that, like, he's still young enough and he might factor into your future somehow as, like, a really good front of the rotation pitcher. And I don't know if he's that. I mean, it's a small sample. His stuff is awesome. The stuff that you heard about at Tennessee, Yurk, is the stuff you see. And if he stays healthy and he can stop giving up the long ball, I mean, it's been the one thing that's hurt him. Like, he could be really good, but here's the interesting stat about him. So there are 78 qualified starting pitchers right now in baseball, just about a month in. You know, qualified is one inning per team game played, okay? So there are 78 qualified starters in the big leagues. Garrett Crochet is one of only 8 out of those 78 with a K rate over 30%. He's at like 32%. He's fourth. But you know what? He also has the fourth worst home run percentage. So he's at the top of one chart and he's at the bottom of the other. And it's like led to a 5-something ERA. And he's only about a league average pitcher, I think, in adjusted ERA right now, even with the great strikeout stuff. But, you know, I wonder if, like, he's one of the guys, or if Robert, when he comes back healthy, I still sort of make the case, like, man, Robert's young and you've got like 4 more years. Can't you be good in the next 4 years where, like, Luis Robert could still be part of your future? But who knows? I mean, maybe Crochet and Robert will be gone too and they'll lose 125 games here. I don't know. Not that I care all that much. I mean, I care about them. Don't get me wrong. I'll always care about them. I was listening to Len and DJ and Connor yesterday. Still interested in White Sox baseball. Like, interested to the point where I can listen and watch and want to know what's going on. Like, I don't live and die with it. Why would I? They've got they're 8-26. You can't live and die with an 8-26 team.
No, you can't. Not 8-26.
You know what I mean? Like, you live and die when the Cubs are good and they're playing Milwaukee for a weekend. You live and die with it.
I mean, if I had to guess, you're playing 265 baseball.
You have something like that.
That's where you're at.
Like, I mean,
that doesn't really kind of drum up the interest.
You can't live and die with that.
Right.
Again, I love them. I'll always love them.
You just kind of keep an eye on them. That's it. Hey, how'd they do today? Hey, they're on. Let me check out an inning or two.
Yes. I wanted to see Brian Ramos. They called up one of their prospects. Like, okay, let's see Brian Ramos. Ramos, but you can't live and die with a
but
team
you're
that's
not as heavily invested as you would be if they if it was reverse.
Right.
If they're 26-8, you couldn't wait to go watch the game.
You're
you
living and
wait
dying.
To go do it. Yeah.
If you're a Baltimore fan, you're living and dying with
right.
it. If you're a Cub fan right now, you're living and dying with it.
23 wins,
yeah,
right?
Don't tell me you don't know baseball standards.
I watch it. I pretend I don't like baseball.
23-11.
But I do really enjoy soccer. Now, I missed it this weekend because of my great golfing adventures.
Right.
But I usually every weekend I watch soccer. I rewatched the Real Madrid game against
you did?
Cadiz. Yes,
yeah, you wanted to see that one. That gave your guy the clinch.
Well,
right?
I got Paramount now. I mean, it's unbelievable. Paramount and Peacock. I got them both, Carm,
for soccer.
I can go back and watch games.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Fast forward through the stuff I don't think is interesting. Stop, check stuff out. See, you know, pace of play. It's good stuff. But the NBA playoffs has got me hook, line, sinker. Tonight. Will be dedicated.
Yeah, tonight I'm looking
to the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets, Minnesota, late game, dedicated.
We'll be up late, so maybe grab a late espresso.
Well, if you're buying sandwiches tomorrow, I know I'm going to be well nutritioned.
I am going to get you guys sandwiches one day this week.
Got eggs today. Came back a little hefty.
Yeah,
came back a little thick.
You've eaten like 4
eggs. From the golf trip. This is going to be my 7th when I eat it.
Wow, getting a lot of good omega-3s.
Can you have too much protein? Because when I walked into the office this morning, I said, who farted?
Hard-boiled eggs always
and
smell.
And you said, nobody, and it was the eggs.
Isn't it weird? Hard-boiled eggs do smell like ass a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
They do. It's weird. I mean, I like hard-boiled eggs, but I thought the same thing. So much so when I walked out of our office to come downstairs, I brought the garbage can out. Because it's going to, our office will smell like ass otherwise all night. I was like, we got to get the eggs out of here.
It's the first thing he did. He insulted me.
I'm not insulting you.
You ever smell some of the stuff you bring into that building?
Whenever I'm delicious. Upstairs.
I'm not insulting you at all. I don't mind you eating your eggs. They stink like ass a little.
Whenever you're upstairs and you're in the director of content, Danny Zetterman's office, you know he wants you to leave when he takes the eggs out.
Right. Yeah. That's how he chases people
but
out.
But it doesn't bother me. I always try to get one from him.
It's like.
I said, give me an egg, brother. I need an egg.
It's like opening up a can of sardines or tuna fish. Good snack. They're good for you. But they kind of stink.
Exceptional. You get them in olive oil? Or do you like them in spring water?
I like it in spring water.
Yeah. I like mine in the olive oil.
You like it in the olive oil? I'd rather have it
in the water. I just don't know how legitimate the olive oil is that goes in there. Yeah, not for nothing, but things over in Italy are not exactly on the up and up when it comes to the olive oil business. That's not me taking a shot.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
It's like I'm going to tell you. You're doing like
it's
a
not,
Godfather.
It's
thing,
not,
the Jenko olive oil
if
company.
You take a look at what the biggest grift in Italy is now,
is that right?
It's the quality of the olive oil and where they're getting from it. It's misnamed. It's not
really?
Coming from the initial pressing of the olive oil.
They don't.
You've got problems over there in the olive oil business.
Don't they have that
and
regulated?
It's causing. It's causing oscillations throughout the market.
Don't they have that regulated by the government?
Supposed to be. But everybody, you know, times are tough in Italy. Everybody's on the take.
Carm, I can agree with Yurko. Sources thank close you. To my family that, there's something amiss.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're sending over what they're calling first press, you know, olive oil.
They're sending
and
over substandard olive oil because of the great demand.
Yes.
Wow.
Yerk's on it.
Thank you. I'm not making it up. I'm not taking a shot at anybody. This is a recent revelation.
Yeah. Are you guys noticed?
I think there was
from,
something.
Yeah, not from the 35 or 46.
Yeah.
That's not when it's from.
It was like the last 2 years, the crops have been not what they were. Mm. And so I think there's something going on.
Are you guys familiar with this brand that you see all these celebrity chefs using these days? I think it's Grazza olive oil. You've seen that bottle and that brand? If you saw it, I bet you'd know it because you guys, especially Chris and Adam, they watch enough food stuff. You'd probably be like, oh, yeah, I have seen that. Like, it seems like every chef, and maybe it's getting sent to them and that's why they're using it, but I looked it up and the olive oil is very expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I like using good olive oil. It's like,
here, hold on. Like, they sell the 3-liter tin, Carm, they'll sell in the 3-liter tin. $70 for a 3-liter tin of olive oil now.
So, like, here's a Grazza olive oil variety pack on Amazon. You get, like, an olive oil and then a finishing oil. $52. I mean, like, that's a lot of money for olive oil. Now, that better be legit good stuff. I'm assuming it is because, like I said, every chef worth his or her salt right now. We have, you know, our chef friends might be listening.
Call your chef friends up right now.
I don't know if Max.
All of them. Max, Todd, all the fellas.
Mark Newman.
Jimmy, Ricky, Mikey, Louie.
Todd Stein.
Yeah, all the guys. Call them all. I bet you they'll tell you there's a problem.
They all seem to be using this Grazza olive oil. And but I looked at it. I'm like, I don't want to spend $60 on olive oil. I mean, geez. I don't even know if it's Italian. I'm assuming it is. Maybe it's Greek.
Here's your other problem. If you go look at your olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the stuff I like comes from Italy. You look back, you'll see it's from Portugal.
Mm.
It's from here. It's from there. It's from here. Ooh. It's not from one. It's combination olive oil, which is no good.
Graza is not Italian. It's from Spain.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why the good stuff's coming from Spain.
There you go.
It's 100% picula olives. A certain type of olive from a big field in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Picula. That's little in it. I don't know. So yeah, well, maybe I'll have to start buying that one. So over the weekend, it was reported that the White Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks are going to leave NBC Sports Chicago when the agreement with their regional network expires in October. And that the Sun-Times for a while had been reporting that it sure seemed like, you know, this was going to happen. And Stadium seemed like the place that was going to somehow produce and distribute their games. Stadium is that app and online service that Jerry Reinsdorf owns now, right, Yurko?
Yes.
That the offices are at the United Center. That's why it's called Stadium. But Saturday, The Athletic reported that the teams are going to partner with Standard Media Group. It's a company based in Nashville, Tennessee, to create a new network, which will be available over the air and through agreements with cable and streaming services. Sources could not confirm nor deny the change in plans. The expectation was that Stadium, currently available online, would convert into a regional network and seek distribution on pay TV providers. It has a streaming platform already in place and conceivably could offer direct-to-consumer service from its app. Teams also have been seeking over-the-air partners, which is sort of ironic. How about this trend now? After everything left over-the-air and went to cable, now all the cord-cutting has happened. Did you realize how many teams are going back over the air? The NBA's Jazz and Suns and the NHL's Golden Knights are off of cable and on over-the-air channels in their market. It is an ironic trend that's happening in television, bringing things full circle after the migration to cable. The Seattle Kraken next year will be going over the air.
Good.
So is that going to happen with this new entity? Could it be on, let's say, Channel 9 again? After, can you imagine it goes all back to WGN, or it goes to CIU, or it goes to Fox? I don't know. Anything over the air? Are we going to be watching these games over the air without having to pay an extra subscription service? I find that sort of fascinating and interesting. People are wondering why they're partnering with a company that is headquartered in Nashville. And are the White Sox, after all, going to leave for Nashville? Who the hell knows? There's also some weird, I don't want to say weird. What else is Jerry Reinsdorf planning here? And how could Bally's potentially be involved? Standard Media is a subsidiary of Standard General LP. That is the hedge fund that was founded by Soo Kim. And he used his billions to basically, if I'm understanding it correctly, and this is all very complicated, gain controlling interest of Bally Sports. Soo Kim is the chairman of Bally Sports. Are these things all tied together, and is Jerry planning some sort of new stadium / casino? And that's like the affiliation with Soo Kim and Bally's. Bally's already got caught up in the regionals out west that basically were part of the Diamond Group. Reading it this weekend, my head was spinning. I'm like, I don't know what's up, what's down, what's what, what's right, what's left. I don't know.
Tell me wherever it's at and whether it's affordable. That's it. Where's it at? Is it affordable?
And if it's over the air, it's part of your cable subscription.
It should be, yeah.
I have YouTube TV, but CIU is on YouTube. WGN's on YouTube.
Yes, it is.
You know, and so you could just... We could maybe be watching games that way, which would be an interesting sort of ironic twist on all of it, and things would come full circle. I don't know how into this stuff sports fans are. I kind of feel like I take your approach. I'll read about it because I feel like we should be somewhat informed and up to date as media people in this in this market. But I'm kind of with you. Like,
it changes every 2 weeks.
I just want to know where I'm going to watch my teams play.
It looks like it's going to go here. It might go there. It might go there. It might be here. It might be there. Everything is this. This is dead. That's dead. But nothing seems to be dead.
And what could be the advantages of going back over the air?
Usually it's who pays the most.
Yeah. But that's the new plan, according to The Athletic, that Standard Media out of Nashville, which again is a subsidiary of Standard General, which owns Bally's, is going to be the new TV partner that Jerry Reinsdorf has struck a deal with the White Sox, the Bulls, and the Blackhawks. It's Jerry and the Wirtz family. Does any of it interest you, or do you just want to know where your teams are going to play? I mean, like, do you care about this stuff? I am sometimes interested. 312-332-3776. We got a 4-pack of tickets to that Chelsea Celtic game, that soccer game that's coming to South Bend later this summer. Yurko's been promoting that and talking about it. We'll give those away before we hit 2 o'clock. Crosstalk a little over an hour from now. The lunch rush coming up. It's Carmen and Yurk. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now. Live on the ESPN Chicago app. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Oh, yeah. The final countdown. Hey, we don't do the almanac anymore like we used to back in the day. The old Mac Yurko and Harry show, Carmen Yurko and Harry. But every once in a while, you got to stop and celebrate a pretty significant birthday, Yurko.
That we do.
Do you know which great American athlete is celebrating birthday number 93 today? 93 years young.
93 today.
93.
This great American athlete that played this sport.
He played the sport of baseball, Ray.
Baseball, Ray. 93 today.
Who's turning 93? And I mean significant.
Is it Reggie Jackson?
No, Reggie's not quite 93. Reggie will be younger than that. Reggie's probably getting close to 80, though,
right? Is it Sandy Koufax?
It is not Sandy Koufax. That's not a terrible guess. It's not Sandy Koufax. Sandy's probably a little younger than
93. I can't guess anymore.
The great Willie Mays.
Willie Mays.
Turns 93 today. Happy birthday. Willie Mays.
Sure, he's listening.
What's that?
I'm sure he's listening.
Well, you never know, Adam.
You know, he shares a birthday, Chris, so you could hit me with some music here, if you don't mind.
Who does he share a birthday
Bob
with?
Bob Seger turned 79 today.
Oh,
how about that?
Without the silver bet. Without the silver bet.
Jose Altuve turns 34 today.
All right, good. Another good baseball player.
Yeah.
Good day to be born if you're a baseball player.
Good day
player.
To be born. Chris Paul turns 39 today.
Wow, Chris Paul is 39.
39. The great George Clooney turns 63.
Happy birthday to him.
Rapper Meek Mill turns 37.
Yeah.
And the newest Chicago Sky, member of the Chicago Sky, Angel Reese, turns 22 today.
Well, this is a pretty big birthday day. Good almanac.
It's a good birthday day.
It's a very
bad
good
birthday
day.
It's a good birthday day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Over or under 150 career wins above replacement for Willie Mays?
Over.
156.2. Remarkable.
Pretty good player, huh?
Oh, my God. I wish that's one of those that, like, I wish I could have seen. You wish you could have seen him play, you know, if you're a sports fan.
If you could have, but we can't.
But I can't.
So we won't, and we won't cry about it.
Now, let's move into another GOAT debate. Because Willie Mays would definitely be in the running for the greatest baseball player of all time.
Sure.
Without question. This, Hoodie was funny this morning. Hoodie and Cap. I heard them, I think it was the start of the 9 o'clock hour, they were talking about this, and Hoodie goes, man, there's three things that I just feel like I've talked about way too much, three topics in 30-plus years in this town, in this business, and I'm sick of it, but somehow we always feel, we always get sucked into it. Somehow we always get sucked in, and it was, they were funny, it was Pete Rose in the hall, Frank Thomas doesn't smile. It was funny. The White Sox are no good because the neighborhood's dangerous and Frank Thomas doesn't smile. And Michael and LeBron. I don't know. I don't know that this revs it up all that much, but this they played a clip from over the weekend. J.J. Redick was on Shaq's podcast. Take a listen.
The only thing I don't like about the conversation is they don't put my boy's name in it. If you're going to be throwing names around, you got to have my boy's name in it. That's like saying, what are the best luxury cars out there, Lexus or a Beamer? You got to put the Mercedes in there, too. Mike, LeBron, or Kobe, now y'all debate.
I refuse to get into the GOAT debate. I don't care. They didn't play against each other. What makes him great is the fact that he's done it now for 21 years at the highest level. Yeah, LeBron's never averaged 35 in a year. Guess what? He's averaged 25 or more for 20 straight years. We're nitpicking. A lot of times we're comparing eras. Like, I'll say this with Michael Jordan, and I don't mean this to be controversial. Michael Jordan, during his heyday, six teams were added to the NBA. There were 90 players added to the NBA. Does that not water down? I'm not talking playoffs, by the way. Nope. Chance to talk playoffs. You're not telling me that the league for a little bit is going to be a little watered down?
What do you think?
What does that mean? The league's watered down absolutely for sure right now during all of LeBron's career?
Or has never been watered down at any moment during LeBron's long career?
Well, I mean, it's already been watered down, because if you're watering down the process, you're telling me there weren't enough good players? Weren't international players coming over to make up for that? If you didn't have the skill in America, international players were coming over with the skill.
There is, well, here's one. There is definitely more internet. There's more skill in the game now, just because, this is why it's hard to compare eras, just because the natural evolution of things. You've opened up the pool to Europe and the rest of the world, where that wasn't, you know, Michael didn't play against the best international players because it wasn't a thing. They became popular because of Michael.
I mean, it was Marshall Ennis was here. Detlef Schrempf was here.
Drazen was here.
The big fella was here. Sabonis.
Yeah, later, though.
Again, I'm just saying they were here, right? They were starting to come over.
Yeah.
So
Drazen.
He did have to deal with a part of that as he was moving forward.
You know,
I don't buy the watering down of the league is what I'm telling you. I don't buy that, because you added 16
when you expand,
and you added 72 players to the league, that you watered down the league. I don't buy that.
There were still a lot of great players in Michael's prime.
And let's not forget that a lot of those San Antonio guys were here also still when Michael was still playing.
Who? San Antonio guys.
The internet. Dirk Nowitzki from Dallas. Was here, all right?
Yeah, but Dirk's rookie year was like 2002, I think.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
Disagree with you wholeheartedly.
No, because I covered the league when Dirk was young. Dirk didn't play in the 90s.
I disagree with you.
Dirk's rookie year was 99. All right, you're right, Yurko.
Okay.
Dirk's rookie year was 99.
Why do you fight me all the time?
He played 24 games. He only played 24 games. Dirk became a starter in 2000. Yeah. But that's still post-Michael. I mean, Michael's last year was 98. I'm not counting Washington.
I see how you're working.
Well, Michael was to come.
I see how you're working.
Michael wasn't the best player in the league when he was in Washington. I mean,
who else was in Boston? They had some international players in Boston.
Dino Raja
played for Boston.
Yeah.
So the point is, there were players starting to come over. I think that's a legitimate point.
Well, certainly by the end of the 90s, there were a ton, because basketball blossomed so much.
I mean, and you could talk about, when did the draft go from 4 rounds to 2 rounds?
I don't remember exactly.
Remember there were multiple rounds? Yeah, and they said, okay, we don't need all that. We'll figure it out.
There definitely
we'll go 2 rounds. That way we're not guaranteeing people money.
Yeah. You know, look, people get all worked up over it. These are just opinions and, like, very subjective things. There's really no way to prove it. Like, there's really no way to prove who, like, the best of all time is.
Michael was the best of all time.
There's
no way to prove it, but let's face it. Michael is the best of all time, period.
We're very biased, and so we do believe that. You got to admit that you've got a little bit of bias.
I'll agree to one thing, though. LeBron James is the Frank Gore of the NBA.
The Frank Gore of the NBA. Why? Because he's got the 25.
Got all the counting stats you want.
He's a lot better than Frank Gore.
Because of his longevity, all the counting stats you want. But he's the Frank Gore of the NBA.
It's a little disrespectful.
I don't think it is.
I think it's very much.
Frank Gore might not make the Hall of Fame. Frank Gore's got 15,000. He's got 15,000 yards.
Frank Gore might not make the Hall of Fame. I mean, LeBron James is probably the second best player ever. So I think that's a little.
I like the way you said probably, because now you're allowing Kobe or Lou Alcindor to get up there.
Thank you.
Carmen, did you see the other piece of that conversation with Redick and Shaq about Jordan that kind of went viral?
Shaq was
talking about, like, JJ asked, what was it like playing against Michael Jordan? And Shaq said something to the effect of, well, you saw it on TV and you're like, that can't be real. And then when you got on the court and you like went to block his shot and he just moved around you in the air and did whatever he wanted, he was like, he's God.
That's pretty awesome.
You see it on TV and you see the highlights, like, it can't be that good. And then he was like, when you're out there with him, he was doing stuff that none of us could do.
He was that good. Yeah. That is
Shaq was very complimentary about Jordan.
I'm sure he was. And again, I get it that we all are going to defend Michael, and we should. I mean, you know, we have a very specific and important reason to defend, like, the legacy, because he was a Bull. And we love the Bulls, and it was great. It was the greatest era of basketball that we've ever got to experience. It's, you know, he's probably the best, most compelling athlete, or certainly one of them, of the last 100 years, and it happened here. And so we're going to be, you know, like to the bitter end, we're going to defend him. There's really no way to prove it. There's no way to prove that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is not the best player of all time. Like Jericho said, you really can't prove
dominant.
It.
He was dominant.
And if you look at his first 10 years in the league, yeah, you might look at, like, how, yeah, or you know, a guy who never gets talked about enough because the numbers, like, aren't as gaudy or as flashy. But, like, go look at Tim Duncan's first 9 years in the league when he won 4 titles. And he was the fulcrum on offense and defense. There was never a moment where he wasn't one of the most important offensive and defensive players in the league for like a decade.
Is 4 less than 6?
Yes.
I believe it is, right?
Yes.
So the discussion then ends there and now. Did Michael Jordan ever lose a championship game?
He did not.
When he got to the NBA Finals, did he ever lose? When he made it to the NBA Finals, 6 times.
He did not.
Did he lose? No.
Never went to a Game 7 in the finals.
Thank you.
You realize
that's why I love Game 7 stats when they show Game 7 stats.
Yeah, I know.
And I go, listen, Jordan didn't go to the 7th game.
Not in the finals.
Yeah. Go to a lot of the things. And how many 7 games did he go to in the series that he had?
There was one against Indiana. There was a Game 7. Which one?
The 93 Knicks.
Against
I think it was
the Knicks. 93 against the Knicks. Mm-hmm. There was one against Indiana. There were a couple of Game 5s, like Game 5 in Cleveland. There were a couple of Game 5s against Cleveland, but not many.
They go to Game 7 stats is what I'm trying to tell you.
Right.
And listen, if you had a bevy of Game 7s because your team wasn't as dominated as, say, the individual player was, then your Game 7 stats might look gaudy.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan's Game 7 stats don't look gaudy. Do you know why?
Not a lot of them.
There weren't a lot of Game 7 stats because he's too busy kicking ass on the wild side.
I mean, there's only like
that's what he was doing.
I could be very wrong on this. I'm just in the top of my head. Like, I'm only picturing, like, right now, Yurko, yeah, like 3 games. I won't go with the shorter series. Back then, the opening rounds used to be, yeah, I won't go with those. Game 7. I'm only thinking of 3 in my mind. Could that be? There's got to be some more that I'm missing.
Well, Carm, I don't know exactly. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you. I'm sure somebody can do a quick search of that
and
give
look.
Us exactly how many Game 7s Michael Jordan played
it
in.
Not a lot, Yurko.
But when they go to that stat, I laugh.
And again, the first round when he played was a best of 5, in fairness.
Right.
So.
Well, that's fine. The point is still Game 7 stats.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. Like,
I mean, he just didn't have a lot of them because he didn't play in a lot of them. So when they go to that, I always find that comical also.
So there was the Game 7 that we remember in 90 against, or this is the 3 I'm thinking of are Detroit, the Knicks, and the Pacers, York. So 1990, they lost in Game 7 to Detroit. And then I think it was 93. Oh, no, it was 92 was the series against the Knicks. They went to 7
okay.
in the conference semis. They won that one, of course, in 92. So we had the year wrong, Yurko. It wasn't 93. It was 92.
Okay, fine. It was 92.
Then there's
How many finals zero? Then what's Kobe's record
all right,
in the finals?
All right. And then 98. There's 3, dude.
3.
Played in 3 game 7. 98 against the Pacers.
How many finals? What is his finals record, LeBron James?
LeBron is 4-6.
Yeesh. Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Yeesh. Now, all the credit in the world goes to him. He went to 10 finals, right?
Yes.
10 finals.
10 finals.
Yeesh.
It's a lot of finals.
Wow, 4-6. Eee.
But you still can't prove it. We can just.
Yeah, I can do what I'm doing right now. Going he and the 4-6.
I'll tell you, one guy that's in the running for that is the guy on that podcast, and it sure is. You know what? Isn't JJ Redick? But he's another one that's in the running for that. We'll do the Lunch Rush coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Follow the show on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Hope everyone's having a great day. We got Crosstalk in about an hour. White Sox baseball on the air tonight as they are in Tampa taking on the Rays. They swept the Rays. Boy, the Rays can't feel good about that. Try to exact a little revenge on the 8-26 White Sox. Cup start a series against the Padres with Yu Darvish on the bump. It's time now for the Lunch Rush. I turn it over to Adam Abdallah.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
What's happening?
What's happening?
There's a lot of stuff happening. We'll start, as we usually do, in the NFL. Albert Breer for Sports Illustrated wrote a term paper outlining everything that went into Ryan Pohl's selection of Caleb Williams.
I haven't read this yet.
And this is, he's going to join Cap and J Hood tomorrow at 8:35, as he does every Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll get into this. But this is everything you ever wanted to know about how this all started. And it started with that game against Notre Dame. In the pregame warmups, Ryan Pohl said he warms up and it's meticulous and it's very Steph Curry-like. But also, right when warmups ended, Joe Montana was standing on the sideline and Caleb Williams went up to, like, pay his respects kind of thing. And Ryan Poles noted that. And for some reason, it stuck in his mind throughout this entire process, how poised he looked. And he wasn't just some kid going up to Joe Montana and being like, he was like, half the kids his age might not even know who Joe Montana is in street clothes, right? If he's not wearing the name of his, of a jersey on his back, or they're watching old highlights or something. So this went into his thinking. And then he had a crazy plan flying all over the country to see all the different quarterbacks. And he went to see, after the Notre Dame game, he went to go see J.J. McCarthy. We know he went to Oregon. He went over Thanksgiving to go see a bunch of games. Like, he was all over the place trying to find all these quarterbacks, to look at all these quarterbacks live, while his scouts and Ian Cunningham were focused on Caleb Williams. And they kept on saying him, you got to come back to L.A. and watch Caleb. You got to come back to L.A. and watch Caleb. So then this gets to the point where we get to the end of the season. Luke Getsy is fired, and they start interviewing coaches. And they interviewed, remember, they interviewed Cliff Kingsbury. And one of the questions they asked him, because it was more of a fact-finding thing than it was a real interview for him to become the offensive coordinator, well, the first thing they asked him was about Caleb's father. And before they could even get the question out, Cliff goes, stop. It's not even an issue. All he is a businessman trying to look out for his son. He doesn't come to practices. He doesn't get involved in the game plan. He doesn't do any of this stuff. Just keep that out of your mind. Then Pohl sent all of his scouts to these all-star games, these like college all-star games, to interview all the players. We know all that.
Yep.
And then they did the dinner, and there were more and more meetings and more. And then they had him and Eberflus, they segmented a time, an hour-long interview with Caleb and Eberflus, and then ended up going over to the point where Ryan Poles had to text Eberflus as a side text and be like, hey man, how much longer do you need with him? Can you wrap it up? And Eberflus came out and he was like, I was just so enamored with talking to him that he was like, this is it. They modeled it after the way Andy Reid met with Patrick Mahomes.
I know.
And when Eberflus walked out of the meeting, he did the same thing and he was like, this is the guy.
Please, please let it be. Please let it be so. Okay.
There's a ton of stuff in this article. There's a lot of like talk about the dinners that they went to, and the main, one of the main themes is that Caleb Williams is always present in the moment, and he's not one of these kids that's constantly looking at their phone and not looking at you when they're having a conversation.
He seems very genuine, very engaging. Did you see the reaction he got at Wrigley on Saturday? I mean, they're going nuts for him. He was at the game.
He
was loving it.
He didn't throw out the first pitch. He didn't sink the seventh inning stretch. He was just in a box.
Had a Cubs jersey
on. With a bunch of teammates.
Was smiling, was excited, was waving to people.
They all got a box. The teammates and him got a box.
I don't know who was in there with him. I really didn't know.
DJ Moore was in there. Keenan Allen was in there. Cole Kmet was in there. And I believe Braxton Jones was in there.
Good crew. Get the offense together.
George Steinbrenner is in his box.
Roger Clemens is in George's box.
And the other story is, remember how he didn't throw at the combine, right? He didn't do any throwing, but he rented out a high school gym, high school football field, to throw during his downtime at the NFL combine. So when he wasn't meeting the media, standing around talking to people, he was throwing. He was practicing.
Listen, please let it be. Okay.
Wasn't one of the stories from the combine that when that happened, the high schoolers that were helping out with that, that he like took time to make sure he knew all of them? He wasn't just some hotshot who was there to throw. Like, he was personable to the kids who were helping him out.
You guys, if this is some sort of an act, this is one of the best acting jobs I've ever seen in my life. If this is, I'm telling you, it seems very genuine. It seems like who he really is. As long as he's good, this is going to be great. And They made, as an organization, different regime, obviously, but the Chicago Bears will forever be known as the team that traded up to get Mitch Trubisky and pass on Patrick Mahomes. I don't care what the pre-draft mocks or any other idiotic rationalization is out, the kind of rationalization is out there. They did not draft Patrick Mahomes. Period. End of story. Let's hope this makes up for it. That's all I can say. There's a long way to go before he's even close to being as good as Patrick Mahomes. What else, Adam?
Period.
According to the Jacksonville Jaguars, according to Jacksonville.com, the Jaguars are expected to play back-to-back games in London again this year.
Yeah, Bears will
and
be one of them.
CBS is pointing to that Chicago will be their technical road game in London. It'll be a home game for the Bears. It'll be a road game. Remember, last year the Jaguars did this. They won both of their games by staying over there for the week in between these two games.
Yes. Second weekend in October, I think. So we'll see. And it'll probably be Bears and Jags.
Second week in October?
I think so. We'll see.
With a bye week after that, do you think?
No idea. Schedule's out. I can't wait. Schedule's out. Dan, you know, we won't be able to react as a show until Friday.
Well,
can't wait.
We get a lot of leaks.
Well, yeah, leaks. This schedule update brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana.
Nice. You do get a lot of leaks, so we'll see.
So, according to, I was just looking for stories, the front page of Pro Football Talk right now, apparently Florio believes this is happening next week.
Oh, the schedule?
Yeah.
Oh, when did that change? I thought they said May 9th.
He just believes signs point to regular season schedule release next week.
What happened to
the 9th? It's May 9th. It's out there. It's already there.
Who's saying a date? Because the NFL Network and ESPN all weekend long was running promos saying soon. Not giving an actual date.
All the NFL will say is that this is from the article. All the NFL will say is that it's coming this month. That's all the NFL ever says. Will it be this week? As best as we can tell, no, it won't.
This is such a big tease.
This is why he says it. How about next week? That's currently looking more likely, especially since next week is a big week for the TV industry with the upfront presentations in New York.
Yeah, right there. That's where the date comes from.
What is it?
Where's you typed it into Bing. You're using Bing as a source? Bing Crosby would be a better source than Bing. You're using Bing as a source?
What do you want?
I mean, this has been such a big tease.
I saw promos this weekend promoting soon, and I thought that was weird. How do they not have an actual date? They're promoting a draft release show, and it just says soon. That's strange to me.
It says that given that the leagues now authorize each of the NFL networks to announce a game or two in the days preceding the full release, it makes sense for the networks to generate maximum buzz by sharing a taste of the schedule on the day that they unveil their full fall lineups during the upfronts next week.
Yeah,
I have already gone about the business of telling you the dates for the last couple of years were May 12th, May 12th, and May 11th, right? I've already told you what they were the three previous years. This one came in as May 9th. It was a Thursday, which is their want.
This is from NFL reporter here. The NFL announces that the 2024 schedule will be released this month. Sources have expected it to be released at some point this week, potentially Thursday, but there's no firm date ready to be announced.
Lazy bastards. Get to work over there. What the hell are you guys doing?
According to Bing.
I'm so disappointed.
Soon, guys. Soon.
I feel like we have misled our listeners.
You going to make it?
I can only apologize.
I ain't apologize to anybody.
By the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. I'm
devastated.
Soon.
I don't want to wait another week.
The reasoning makes sense.
I was looking for Thursday.
The upfronts do make sense.
The NFL's a disgrace. The schedule out so people can schedule their falls.
You got rookie minicamp this week. Come on.
Gotta be ashamed of yourself.
That's true. This weekend, we do have rookie minicamp.
Other teams have already had rookie minicamps. What do you think? They're waiting on the Bears? Think they're waiting on the Bears?
You go with those eggs again.
I'm going to eat another egg for you because you got me pissed.
I'm keeping the door closed.
We got you pissed.
Yeah, you got me pissed.
You were the one telling us May 9th.
It says so May 9th right here.
On Bing. Right. What happens if I use Google? Yeah. When does the
I'm
NFL
so disappointed
soon come out?
Here's what we'll do now to make it up to everybody. Let's give away a 4-pack of tickets to Chelsea versus Celtic on July 27th at Notre Dame Stadium. So if do you want to just call her 20? How about we do that? We'll do caller 20. Is that good? Caller 20, you win a four-pack. We got a four-pack every day. Now, listen to this. One other thing to mention. If you've got a child between the ages of 10 and 17 that loves soccer and you want a chance to win a spot for them to be one of the ball kids or flag bearers during that international match happening at Notre Dame Stadium, you can enter for a chance to win one of these awesome opportunities at ESPNChicagoContests.com. That's ESPNChicagoContests.com. Our players of the weekend are coming up next.
Working from home or back in the office? Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, let's talk about our players of the weekend. Brought to you by the Marquee Sports Network. Subscribe and stream the Cubs at marquee.com. Let's see if any Cub gets nominated. Maybe a Javier Assad for another good start yesterday. Yurko, who'd you like to talk about from the weekend?
Karma, I'm glad you're coming over by me. And my player of the weekend is a guy that hails from Lexington, Kentucky. And his name is Kenny McPeak. He was the trainer of both the winners of the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby. He had Mystic Dan in the Derby and Torpedo Anna in the Kentucky Oaks. If you did a Kenny McPeak double for Friday and Saturday, you, my friend, were a champion, got paid a whole lot of money.
Wow.
So my player of the week goes out to the trainer, Kenny McPeak.
All right, Kenny McPeak. Good work.
All right.
Abdallah.
I don't know. It's going to be hard to top Kenny McPeak.
It is going to be hard to top Kenny McPeak.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one weekend you can really kind of give him some love, and this was the weekend.
Like, I was going to go with the actual horse because he's kind of the athlete in this scenario, not the, you know. I'll go with Mystic Dan.
Yeah, without the jockey, that horse is running aimlessly around the track.
Yeah, but he's still the athlete, you know.
Who do you think is going to steer him?
Oh, the horse doesn't need to be steered.
Oh, yeah.
How does the horse run around? I mean, what is...
They usually run in a straight line. They don't run in a circle.
Yeah, he'd figure it out.
You don't need a jockey for a greyhound, last I checked.
He'd figure it out.
No, but they do have to chase the rabbit.
They
That's
do have
right.
to chase, chase
the rabbit.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Aha!
Uh-huh.
Taste the soup.
Who are you going with, Adam?
Mine's not a sports one. if you paid attention to anything on the internet this weekend, Kendrick Lamar won the weekend. Kendrick Lamar and his beef with Drake, Kendrick Lamar won. That's
you,
it. It's
you eviscerated
over.
Drake.
It's done.
Well, how
it's
did he
over.
Eviscerate him?
It's a whole. I don't listen. Come I got a minute 10. There's allegations in here. There's alleged stuff going on.
Kendrick
there's fake
Lamar
childs.
Was...
There's pedophilia. There's all this kind of stuff going
did
on.
Did he release an album?
I don't have time to get into
What's
it.
What's going on?
I don't have Lord. Time to get into it. If you want a full breakdown, check out the
Who
Black
the
and Dollar YouTube page.
Lamar?
Later.
Okay. I know Kendrick Lamar. I know
who is Kendrick Lamar.
He's a rapper. He's a performer.
Oh, heavens.
Okay, Kendrick Lamar is. You're not an athlete again. We don't have an athlete yet in our athletes of the weekend. We got Kendrick Lamar and Kenny McPeak. Is that his name?
Kenny McPeak.
Was that his name?
Yeah.
Kenny McPeak.
McPeak.
McPeak. Chris, who are you going with?
I wasn't going to go with an athlete either. I was going to name Player of the Weekend myself. I watched Seinfeld's new movie, Unfrosted.
Yeah? Terrible?
It exists. It's something that exists in the world. It's a movie. It's out there.
That bad?
Well... You know, Roper in the Sun-Times called it the worst movie of the decade.
Yeesh.
I'm not going to say it's that
Yeesh.
Because I didn't turn it off. There's okay. a lot of bits in it. Every other line is a bit.
Oh God.
It's something. It feels like a live-action cartoon about Pop-Tarts.
Now I know why people hate our show.
Yeah, no, we are not giving that many bits. It's the bits per second in this film is just out of control.
No kidding.
But I think you should watch it to then give your own opinion on it.
All right. This is about cereal?
No, it's about the Pop-Tart.
Oh, about the Pop-Tart.
The
gotcha.
Discovery of the Pop-Tart.
Gotcha.
And Post
gotcha.
And Kellogg racing to figure out the pastry.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Not a subject I ever thought
it's
I'd
like,
be interested
It plays
in, okay.
like a spoof of Mad Men about Pop-Tarts.
About Pop-Tarts.
With Seinfeld writing it. So it's got the pace of a Seinfeld episode.
Okay. At some point, I'll probably give it a whirl. I'll go with an athlete then. I'll go with Anthony Edwards. How's that?
We got. That's a good one. Yeah.
I mean, fair. You know, Anthony Edwards is doing stuff that puts him in rarefied air. I mean, he's doing stuff that only Kobe, Kareem, and LeBron have ever done. Now, three straight 36-plus point performances in playoffs before turning 23. That's remarkable. And he was awesome. I mean, without him the other night, obviously, they don't win that game. And he was great in the fourth quarter when he had to be. And he's just absolutely fantastic. He scores in such a variety of ways. And he looks like he's a man on a mission. He's been a lot of fun to watch. So I will go with Anthony Edwards. And those are our players of the weekend with a trainer. Chris giving it to himself for watching Frosted, Kendrick Lamar, and Anthony Edwards. It's brought to you by the Marquee Sports Network. Stream Cub games at marquee.com. We're back in 2 minutes.